Welcome to Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource, the radio show that helps you find answers on important topics like finances, senior housing, estate planning, real estate, health, and much more. Now, let's join Kupuna Wiki hosts, Brandon Lau and Andrew Leon.
Aloha and welcome to the Kupuna Wiki radio show. This month, we are discussing estate planning, and in studio, we have Madeline Young, director and shareholder with Damon Key Leong Kupchik Hassert, and she is specializing in trusts and estates. Kupuna Wiki is Hawaii's senior resource. We talk to the best local professionals in the state regarding topics such as real estate, senior housing, estate planning, finance, and health, so that our Kupuna families can find the best resources in the midst of a life transition. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Brandon Lau.
And I'm Andrew Leong,
your host for the Kupuna Wiki radio show.
If you missed any of our shows on air, the Kupuna Wiki radio show is available as a podcast and can be found on both Spotify and Apple for your listening pleasure. Our title sponsor for today is Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 753-9033.
And now we have our real estate tip of the week brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
When purchasing a home with a photovoltaic system, always be sure to verify whether the system is leased or owned. Inquire with the seller regarding the system and its features, and always review the agreement between the owner and the PV company. If the system is leased, always make certain to understand the details of the lease and the terms of canceling the agreement. Failing to do so may result in unforeseen consequences and significant cancellation fees.
For more information on photovoltaic panels, systems, or buying your next home, please contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors at 753-9033. Again today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Madeline Young, director and shareholder at Damon Key Leong Kupchik Hassert, and she specializes in trust and estate planning. Welcome, Madeline.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Now, share with us a little bit of how you got involved in this part of law and what you enjoy about it.
Well, prior to joining Damon Key in 2013, I was at the Legal Aid Society of Hawaii, mm-hmm. and I was a consumer law attorney there in their asset protection unit.
Okay.
And I guess when I joined Damon Key, they had a need for an attorney in the Trust and Estates group, primarily in litigation mm-hmm. matters. And I guess they felt, and as did I, that the transition from asset protection to asset protection and planning mm-hmm. would be a good one. And so I joined them in the fall of 2013. And at that time, I started off primarily focused on disputes involving trusts and estates. And then I added estate planning to that, to my practice.
That's great. I know you were born and raised in the islands.
Yes.
And where did you find yourself going to school and getting trained in this field?
Well, I attended a college at the University of Chicago.
Okay.
In Chicago. And after that, I attended the Northwestern University School of Law. And upon graduation, I joined a large law firm here in Hawaii. And then I ended up moving to California.
Okay.
My husband matched his residency program out at USC. So we moved to California, and I worked in a bunch of law firms there, various law firms, mm-hmm. small, large, for a number of years. I got my license there. And then after starting a family, we decided to come back to Hawaii.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So you've been here for the past?
Since 2007, I think.
Okay,
now.
That's a long stint.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your kids love it here.
They do.
So this has been a good season for you,
I imagine. Yes, the best place in the world to live, I think.
Now, what do you find interesting about this particular area of trust and estate planning?
Well, I think I've come to learn that it's so important to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the event of one's incapacity or even passing. I think, people maybe don't want to think about that sort of thing. And living in the time that we are living in now with this pandemic, I think it's even more important to start thinking about what might happen if you become incapacitated or
right.
unable to care for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of our clients, my clients, are looking for assistance with setting up their estate plan, which would involve drafting and executing a will, a trust, a durable power of attorney, and an advanced healthcare directive.
Right.
And those are the key documents, I think, that can assist with giving yourself and your family a sense of security. And also, you know, practically speaking, you can avoid having to go through the probate process upon your death, because a trust can direct what happens to your assets. And memorialize your instructions and your intentions for your family. A will can also set up, you know, who you want to identify as the guardian of your children, give instructions about your burial. So you can really set out your preferences, your hopes, and your intentions with respect to what you want done with your property, and really how you want your family to continue on.
Now, I know you've been very successful in your career. In fact, I believe you were named as one of the best lawyers in 2019 and 2020, so congratulations.
Thank you.
But aside from that, you know, you also are somewhat unique in this field in that you are involved in the litigation process, which, unfortunately, things have to go down that path from time to time. But share with us a little bit of how you get involved with the litigation process and perhaps how you prevent people from going down that road.
So typically what happens is usually there is a trust that needs to be administered, usually upon someone's death. Although trust can be administered during someone's lifetime, it's normally the settlor, the person establishing the trust, who does that first administration on their own. And then upon their incapacity or passing, there usually is a successor trustee appointed. And, you know, you think that most people appoint their spouse as their successor or one of their children or family members, you know, as a way to honor them or to entrust them with the responsibility that you think that they can handle. But sometimes it's more than what you or they realize, what's involved. And I think most times it usually is a simple administration, but there are instances where disputes might arise among relatives, among siblings, between children and their parents as to how assets should be distributed or divided. And that's where we often find our cases landing in court. And so a large part of my practice is handling those types of disputes, primarily before our local probate court judge. And it often involves division of property, division of personal property or assets and accounts. And unfortunately, it can turn into some very emotional and difficult times for families, you know, and so our goal is always to try to help them work those issues out. And do it in the best interest of the clients.
You know, I usually see that, let's say a parent has the best intentions when they draft their trust, and let's say they'll write in there, I want my property to be divided evenly between all four children. And they think it's, you know, it's very fair. But later on down the line, perhaps a couple of the kids maybe live on the property, a couple do not. And so now there's more than just being fair. There's how do you handle a living arrangement? And what's equitable at that point?
And that's where I think planning ahead and putting it into a trust is the best setup for that sort of situation. And the thing that an attorney can help with is kind of thinking out all the contingencies and all the possible circumstances that might arise, whether a child might predecease or one or more of the children might want to live or not live in the home, or might want to divest themselves of the interest in the home if they're no longer living in Hawaii or that sort of thing. Sometimes kids just want, you know, the proceeds and not having the property. And so you have to figure out what how best to handle that.
Well, we want to hear more perhaps from your experience on certain common scenarios that you've encountered. And I'm sure listeners are going to be excited to hear about those things. But we'll hear more from Madeline Young right after this commercial break.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because, as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we have Madeline Young. She's the director and shareholder at Damon Key, Leong, Kupchak, and Hastert. And right before the break, we were just diving into some scenarios about estate planning, trusts. And I want to touch upon, you mentioned that even though there's a trust, sometimes there still can be disputes, mm-hmm. Which can possibly lead to probate. What are some scenarios that you can provide that would happen, and how would you, what are ways that you can prevent some of these?
So one kind of unfortunate but common scenario is when a trustee, after, say, mom and dad have passed away, mm-hmm. And a trustee has been appointed to take over the administration of their trust, and oftentimes that means there are real properties placed in the trust to be managed or sold, or however the mom and dad wanted the properties to be distributed. And either it just doesn't get done in a timely manner, or it doesn't get done according to the terms set forth in the trust, which often says, upon my death, terminate and distribute. Mm-hmm. And I've seen cases where trustees just don't do anything for a number of years, and there's no good reason. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the properties may be collecting income, and that income should be, either held in trust for the beneficiaries or distributed out to them. And instead, maybe this trustee is using it to finance their own personal expenses. Mm. And so that's a kind of typical situation where, the other beneficiaries get wind of what's going on and they have a lot of questions. They finally get retain an attorney to kind of look into it, review the terms of the trust. Usually the trust has pretty clear directions. Sometimes, unfortunately, more often than not, the instructions aren't so crystal clear. Mm-hmm. And so it's those scenarios that might end up being litigated among family members in probate.
So it's not always clear cut and dry.
No, or if it is, sometimes that human being is just not adhering to those right. terms, and so they have to have the court come in and enforce them.
And going back, you mentioned that a lot of times it's usually, the successor trustee is usually maybe a family member, right? But they may also be the beneficiary as well.
That's correct.
So that sometimes may cause that...
an inherent conflict, yeah.
So would you recommend that, when people create their trust, perhaps maybe not having a family member as the successor trustee could avoid, these issues later on?
It's possible. I think that you could plan to provide a means for that trustee, even a trusted family member who might turn out not to be so trustworthy, plan some terms for their, removal and replacement. Mm-hmm. By the majority of income beneficiaries after, the settlors have passed away. So that's one way to do that, although that might still take some sort of proceeding in court to happen. Mm-hmm. But at least there's some instruction there and some indication of the settlor's intent, that they want this administration to be smooth and according to their instructions. And if there is an instance where that's not happening, then you can plan for that event. Yeah.
Okay, so there are ways to, you know, put into instructions, special instructions to put into the trust to therefore avoid having the, you know, a later dispute.
Yeah, although, you know, our sort of practice, we want to not make things so complicated. I think there are different formats that people can use for their trusts that might involve throwing everything in just on the off chance that something might happen. I think our approach is more straightforward, and we hope that keeping the instructions direct and, you know, relevant to the family is a priority for us, rather than trying to think of everything that could possibly happen and, you know, having like a 50-page trust that's not helpful to anyone, and the settlers don't even understand what it contains.
Right.
So we try to take a more practical approach, and I think our clients appreciate that.
Madeline, you know, in terms of before you get to the point where you go into a litigious situation, who sits down with the family and says, okay, we can either work it out here, and these are the options, or if not, then you have to get an attorney involved, and then you have to go to court. There's probably somebody who makes that explanation and gives them the option, because it's not cheap, right?
No, I think I've seen family members, surviving family members, try to approach the original estate planning attorney for some help. But that can be problematic, and often I get referrals from the drafting attorneys to come in, because, you know, obviously they represented the parents in the preparation, or the family member in the preparation of their estate plan. They might represent other members of the family as well. And so they would try to refer them out to an uninvolved attorney who can kind of come in objectively, review the documents,
right,
and give some good objective advice to the family members who might be questioning whether someone has been doing something that's not appropriate or in breach of their fiduciary duties. Because that's one thing that maybe people might not realize, is that when you are a trustee, you take on a responsibility that you have fiduciary duties to the beneficiaries.
Right.
It's not just, oh, you know, this is just my sister and my brother, and I just have to make sure they get their share. You know, you have to really respect what the terms provide in that document.
Right. And so usually, I guess, the party who approaches you, you call him, I guess, the plaintiff in that regard?
Just an interested party.
Interested party. But they have some issue, and they're pointing out that something's not done correctly according to the trust.
Yeah, or they feel that something hasn't been conducted appropriately. And so the first thing that we need to do is review the actual terms of the trust. And so we hope they have the document to review, or if not, we would have to request a copy from either the adverse party or from the drafting attorney, hopefully. But normally they have the document, they've looked at it. More often than not, they don't completely understand it.
Right.
And so that is where we come in and try to help them understand what it says. And it might even provide something that is, you know, completely 180 from what they understood it to do. So that's where, you know, the expertise comes in, and we're able to sit down and kind of plan out or explain options. And, you know, I've been doing this long enough that, you know, if there's a room to kind of come to an agreement with and try to avoid court, that's really the goal. If you can, if you can work out some terms, if it's really just about an equal distribution, nobody wants to spend their money or the estate's money in court.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess one of your first priority situation where they can make an objective decision. And I guess the key to that is really having somebody with a clear understanding, and, you know, understanding, well, what are the terms of the trust?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So education is a huge part of this, right?
Yeah. And, you know, they could read that document 10 times and might not understand what it says.
It's in legalese.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand that.
Yeah. So it helps. And I think even in the planning stages, it helps to kind of make a memorandum, or we usually put it in a letter that accompanies the documents once they're executed, to kind of explain what that person needs to do to make sure that the plan is executed the way they want. So, and we always try to make sure that our clients really understand, and that we confirm that what we have put into the document is what they want.
Any other common scenarios that you can point out which people can avoid just from your experience in this these situations?
Lately, I think it's, you know, at the very basic level, I think having a power of attorney is mm-hmm. really important. It's not even a, you know, that's something that you do while you're alive, while you're still, you know, competent, mm-hmm. have capacity. But, you know, anything can happen, right. especially in times like we're living in now. And it's good to designate someone who can make decisions for you if you can't.
Right.
And I would say that would be probably the first thing I would try to take care of among all the other, you know, documents you could put together. The power of attorney is key. And even for someone as young as 18, you know, my own daughter is heading off mm-hmm. to college soon, and I think that's an important document for her to have, so that when she's away, you know, her father and I can, if we need to step in and talk to whomever we need to talk to on her behalf if she's not able to. Mm. So that's, you know, that's one thing that we can help
Sounds
do.
Like, yeah, and it's never too early.
No, it's never too early.
To have that document mm-hmm. involved.
I think probably, you know, one problem is that people don't want to think about death, right? Or like their, you know, the inevitability of their dying, and mm-hmm. so they don't want to plan for it because mm-hmm. It's not pleasant to think about. But it's really, you know, it takes a burden off of your shoulders. It gives some security and, you know, gives your family a plan.
Right.
And so it's not just like they don't know what to do if something mm-hmm. should happen to mm-hmm. you.
Well, I'm going to ask a more current events question for you. You know, we are obviously in a socially distanced environment these days, and a lot of the things that you do are typically document-based, you know, sitting across the table for somebody, explaining
That's right.
things. How do you do that these days where, you know, somebody can be serviced accordingly, and, you know, some kupuna don't have computers and internet? How do you folks deal with all of that?
That's a great question. And so right now, you know, where our office is trying to socially distance, we're limiting the number of visitors that can come in, or visitors, period. Mm-hmm. But we do have make exceptions for people who need to execute documents before a notary. And the courts here have authorized notaries to do their notarization remotely.
Okay.
And so we offer that service as well, where our notary is in our office, and we can do it by either FaceTime or Zoom or whatever means is convenient, where we might go to see the client wherever they might be, in the hospital, in the care home, or at home, mm-hmm. and use our technology to assist them with having that video link to the notary in our office mm-hmm. so she can notarize remotely. And so that's been really helpful. We've actually had to use that quite a bit during this time.
Right.
Because there's just no other way to have that in-person witnessing or
right.
notarization. But it's still valid, and we think it's been a real benefit to have that, you know, use of technology.
Right.
Yeah.
And how about with, like, court, probate courts and hearings? How does that work for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, the courts have gone as remote as possible, mm-hmm. so handling their hearings over the telephone, by WebEx, video if possible.
Right.
But in probate here, primarily the hearings are done over the phone. So all the attorneys call in, parties can call in to the courtroom on their given date and time. And the hearing is handled that way.
So it sounds like Damon Keeley on Kupchak Hassert is staying ahead of the curve, able to help people even with a pandemic.
Yeah.
<That's>
and
great.
Especially during a pandemic. Yeah.
Final question is, anything you see changing in the estate planning or trust arena in the future, or you think, you know, just education, helping people to understand documents, that's always going to be the mainstay of your profession?
Yeah, I think that's always a goal for us, to provide an opportunity to ensure that our clients understand what options are available to them mm-hmm. and what the documents can provide, in a way that they understand and feel comfortable that what, you know, what they have planned out in their mind can be memorialized in the document. I think that there are opportunities to hopefully have different resources for to meet with different kinds of advisors. Mm-hmm. But really, we should be all working as a team. I think, you know, with accountants, with financial planners, with their estate planning attorneys, all working together to make sure we achieve the client's goals.
That's great. Madeline, if somebody wanted to reach out to you or your firm, how could they do that?
I think the easiest is to go to our website, mm-hmm. and that's at www.hawaiilawyer.com. And there you can find a directory of our attorneys, a list of our services, how to contact us, and a lot of really good, useful information. We have some checklists there, mm-hmm. personal preparedness checklists, trustee and personal representative checklists that they can access for free. But they're welcome to try our website.
That's wonderful. We've been speaking with Madeline Young, Director and Shareholder at Damon Key Leong Kupchert Hassert, a law corporation. And you've been a wonderful guest. Thanks so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them. clientservice@choicehi.com.
Have you ever been worried leaving your loved one alone? Whether it be illness, a fall, or just personal safety, the Electronic Caregiver Mobile Medical Alert System with GPS technology will give you that peace of mind. With the simple press of a button, an on-call staff member will be able to locate you and provide expedited help by alerting family or emergency medical services. To learn more about the Electronic Caregiver, call Priscilla Wong at 954-0820 and mention Kupuna Wiki to receive a free gift. Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
And now we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
On July 1, 1963, the U.S. Department of the Post Office introduced the zip code system for mail to travel more efficiently and therefore more quickly to its recipients. During the mid-1960s, the concept of the zip code was the inspiration for what local business?
For a chance to win a Long's gift card, be the first person to call us with the correct answer at 808-792-5188. And we hope you're staying safe during this time. And if you're at home and you want to listen to prior episodes of the Kupuna Wiki radio show, please go to our website at kupunawiki.com, and you'll find past episodes as well as ways to get in touch with our great service providers. You can also call us for more information at 808-792-5188.
Again, we'd like to thank this segment sponsor, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 753-9033.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show, Hawaii's senior resource. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Again, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you back next time on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Kupuna Wiki radio program. If you'd like more information about today's topics, please call us at 792-5188. That's 792-5188. Or visit us online at kupunawiki.com. Until next time, aloha.
The preceding program was sponsored by Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource.